Senate File 1992, Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. President. First, I'd like to thank all our fiscal and council staff for their support and help in putting together Senate File 1992. I'd also like to thank the members of the division. We were a really good working group, and we all participated, and I think we made some good decisions. Our committee has been really active the last 3 months we've been here. We visited the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. We visited five of the corrections institutions. The last visit we made was to Red Wing. We were there on high school graduation day, and Senator Murphy gave the keynote address for graduation. And one of the things that I think struck all of us who was there was that 67% of the kids in that institution have parents who are also in some criminal or corrections institution. So part of what we put together was a piece to help some young folks maybe stay out of the correction system and break the cycle. Senate File 1992 provides $75 million in new ongoing funds for public safety and crime prevention programs across the state. The total amount is approximately $1.1 billion for the biennium. Our target was about $25 million less than the governor had in his proposal. I think you all have at your desk the spreadsheet for our bill, and it's not very long. And I'll just walk through some things that we have in the bill so you have an idea of what we were doing. We put our compensation package set at 3.25% each of the 2 years of the biennium for all of the agencies that are in our budget. We funded the forecast base in each area of our division, and in some cases then those agencies got other funds that we'll tell you about. When I talked to the chief or the superintendent of the Bureau of Criminal Apprehensions, for example, he had two priorities. One of them was CrimNet, and one of them was funding 20 new forensic scientists at the BCA lab. We funded all 20 of those positions at the BCA lab. That helps not just our state government, but it also helps our local governments in getting the turnaround for the information that they need back as well. You'll find that information on the bottom of page 3 of the bill. The fire marshal, you may remember, is now funded through the fire safety account. That was Senator Rest's bill last year. And they will get about $9 million this biennium, a nice increase for them. The gambling and alcohol enforcement folks are in our division too. They received the forecast base. In the Department of Public Safety, there are quite a few Office of Justice grants programs. We put quite a bit of money in one-time money in the last biennium for a lot of these programs. We didn't have that money available this year. They also are suffering a setback because the federal government didn't get their budget bill done that contains the Office of Justice funds. So we were able to get some money into some of these programs, but they're probably going to have to go find some other funds this year to offset what we couldn't do for them this year. You can see starting on pages 4 and 5 the items that we could fund. The Gang and Drug Task Force, I think we can all agree that they do great work here in our state, and we have a grant to them. We have a victim information and notification system called VINES here in the state. It notifies victims of crimes when there's a change in the status of the offenders. And we were able to put some money back in there. Unfortunately, it was about half of what the governor recommended. We'll see. I think we can. They can probably do their system with what we have appropriated. We have some of you who were here 8 or 10 years ago will remember our racial profiling bill about 8 years ago, I guess it was. One of the things that we had in that racial profiling bill was cameras in squad cars if the law enforcement agencies would agree to do the racial profiling study. It was part of the deal. And those cameras are now obsolete. It's almost impossible to get the tapes to go with them. They have, however, been immensely successful, both in the terms of the work that the police officers do, but also the victims of crimes. And so we have in here $1 million to upgrade those squad car cameras. In committee, we decided that if a local law enforcement agency got cameras through the last set, they could just ask for the funds. If a local law enforcement agency didn't participate in the racial profiling study, then we are requiring that they have a 25% match to get the cameras that we have in this bill. One of the other things we heard loud and clear from our local units of government was that they're really strapped for overtime, especially in those communities where there's been a spike in crime, such as Brooklyn Center and Brooklyn Park. We have $2.5 million in our bill for peace officer overtime pay. There's an existing statute that sets up a committee made up of the Attorney General, the Chiefs of Police, the Chief of the Sheriff's Association, and I think the head of the Public Safety, the Commissioner, and they will be the folks who will decide which communities get these grants. As you look on pages 4 and 5, you can see other grants that we have available, and I won't go through each one of them. On pages 6, 7, 8, and 9, I think, is money to design and acquire sites and construct the 800 megahertz public safety radio communication system. Some of us call it this 800 megahertz. Some of us call it the 911 system. Some of us call it the armor system. It's all the same thing. This money comes from an increase in the fee on your telephone bills. And the governor proposed that we add 10 cents to the fee this year, 10 cents to the fee more next year, and another 10 cents the year after. That would help us to build out the statewide system. We've been talking about this for a very long time, and it's time to get it done. And I think they keep telling us that this should do it. We, just so you know, the money that we get in the fees is then used to buy bonds to pay for this system. The post board, the Peace Officer Standard and Training Board, got an increase this year. And part of that increase is going to be used to develop or buy a training curriculum so that the officers are more aware of how to deal with victims of domestic violence. This is Senator Bonhoff's bill, and the post board will be developing that. The Board of Private Detectives and Protective Agent Services are also in our division. I didn't even know we had this entity until I got on this division, but there they are, and so we funded them at their forecast base. The Department of Human Rights, a really important department, told us that they still carry big cases around for their files and their tracking and compliance system. So we're giving them the money that they requested to upgrade to an electronic system and get them into the 21st century. Pretty much the rest of the budget is the Department of Corrections. We have 10 correctional institutions here in Minnesota, one women's prison, one youth prison, and eight other prisons. The corrections department has started having some good conversations with people about what to do when folks come out of the institutions. And we've had a lot of discussions about what we call reentry. At the bottom of page 11 of the bill, you'll see that we have some funding both for work that will be done while the person is still institutionalized and then also some when they come out. Elsewhere in the bill, we also have a grant program for community organizations who will be working with the offenders as they come out to help them get jobs, to help them find good housing, and to get them connected back in the community. We know that this will lower the recidivism rate if we can get them a good start when they come back. And I think everybody in the division realized how important that was to do that. On page 12 of the bill, we have a couple of funding increases for the intensive supervised release agents. One of them is for the agents who work with the people who will be leaving the Challenge Incarceration Camp up at Willow River, the place we call the boot camp. The Challenge Incarceration Program is going to be doubling in size. And as those folks come out, then we also need the agents to work with them, especially the intensive supervision that they need. So we funded that. We also funded the agents for the conditional release program. Those of you who are Community Corrections Act counties will see that there is a nice increase for probation supervision for the CCA counties. For you folks who live in the county probation officer counties, there's an increase for those probation officers as well as the DOC system probation supervision. We had we also include $1 million for sex offender management and treatment as well as reimbursement to the counties for the sex offender assessments that they have to do. Sentence to serve is another program that we learned about, and a lot of us know about the Sentence to Serve program. These are nonviolent offenders who work in our communities, and they lost their federal funding, and we were able to get back about half of that amount, but not all of it. You probably also have all heard from your counties about the fact that we house short-term offenders, people who have less than a year in their sentences. We house them in the county jails instead of in the prisons. And unfortunately, we've been paying about a little less than $10 a day to do that. This bill would increase that funding to about $33 a day. I think the counties will be very pleased with that. Let's see. What else have we got? We've got... In the Sentencing Guidelines Commission is going to work on a couple of studies for us. Senator Moi asked us for some more information from the Collateral Sanctions Committee, and we are going to be asking for proposed changes to the sentencing guideline grid for controlled substance offenses. This is Senator Neville's project. We need to every once in a while check to see whether we are having sentences that are proportional to our surrounding states and actually the federal government as well. We did have one proposal in our division that actually brought money into our division, and that was Senator Neville bill changing the... changing the thresholds for theft, and we thought that was a good idea, and we adopted that. At this point, I think I'll stop and ask for any questions, and thank you for listening to the presentation on this bill.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 1992, Senator Neville?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to thank Senator Higgins for her courtesy in handling the committee and the hearings, and it's been good to work with you. I think this is basically a pretty good bill. My disappointments are that it's $25 million under the governor's target. I guess we're going to decide that human services, right, at least right now, is more important than public safety, and I'm disappointed in that. I'm also discouraged that, in particular, the Department of Corrections is not getting the salary increase that they need, and that could result in some layoff of correction officers. But generally, I think this bill is a good bread-and-butter bill. I have one amendment, and under the circumstances, I'll be very gentle about it because I'd like to offer the A4 amendment.
Secretary will report the Neville A4 amendment. Is your mic on?
Neville moves to amend Senate File 1992 as follows: 12, delete lines 28 to 33, etc.
Senator Neville on the amendment.
Thanks, Mr. President. And Senator Higgins, I'm sorry that I'm under the circumstances. I'm going after a couple of your projects. But the governor asked for $7.5 million for probation and treatment, intensive probation and treatment of sex offenders who are being released from prison. Some of you who were here 2 years ago might remember that when the Rodriguez case was going through, we had lots of discussion about sex offenders, and the Senate position ultimately prevailed that year, which allowed more people to be coming out of prison after they were served their time for sex offenses than the House position would have been. One of the understandings of that was that we were going to provide more probation services to watch and monitor those sex offenders, the most serious ones in particular, as they were discharged from prison. Senator Higgins' bill only funds that $7.5 million need at a $2 million level. And what this amendment does is it shifts about $2.7 million from three reentry programs. One of them is a pilot. And these are good programs. I mean, we heard the testimony, and it's important for offenders when they're coming into the community to have mentors to help them get jobs. It's important that we provide mentors for the children of some of the offenders while they're in prison. These are not necessarily bad programs, but when you're $20 million short of what the governor is proposing, you have to make priorities and decisions. And to me, it's more important to put that $2.7 million toward the intensive probation that we need for the sex offenders. And even with that, we'll be only at about $4.7 million, which is still almost $3 million less than the governor's asking for. If we don't do this, if we just keep it at $2 million, the caseloads will be too high for them to do a good job. They won't be able to hire enough of these probation agents that the public thinks are necessary to keep us well informed and safe. So that's what this amendment does. Maybe the last comment that I would say is that that this applies statewide, and for the most part, the programs that I'm taking the money from are pretty much metropolitan area programs. And I also think it's important to distribute that money a little bit better on a statewide basis toward greater Minnesota. So, Senator Higgins, I apologize that I'm taking it out of here, but I don't know where else I can take it. If I could take it from the Health and Human Services bill, I would. But then Senator Pogumiller would jump up quickly and say that I'm out of order. Oh, no, that resolution didn't pass, at least not yet. But that's where I'd prefer to take it from, given the target that we have. I think this is a matter of priorities.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. President and Senator Neville, you're right. We had some tough choices to make in putting this bill together. And the governor put a lot of money toward the sex offenders and a very modest amount of money toward reentry. And then I really felt like I wanted to do some of the new initiatives that I have in the bill. I think as important as sex offender management is, I think the issues surrounding employment and housing and help for those folks when they come out of the prison system to keep them from going back in the system are incredibly important as well. The issues surrounding helping kids who have parents in the correctional system with mentors and helping them break the cycle that we see so often in families is just an incredible problem too. And I would ask if you would please not support the A4 amendment.
Any further discussions, Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I too want to thank Linda for the guidance of the committee. It was very, very encouraging to have all the witnesses be able to testify, and I think we had a very good overall coverage of everything. I do rise in favor of this amendment. I've, in my past life, worked real closely with a lot of the people that supervise level two, level three sex offenders, and I know they're really running their legs off out there trying to keep up with what they have, and I know they're really terribly underfunded. Several of them have contacted me about getting some extra dollars there so they can be out there supervising what we think are probably the most serious offenders in the state of Minnesota. So I encourage this body to vote for this amendment, and I'd ask for a roll call vote on this.
There'll be a roll call vote. Secretary, any further discussion? Secretary will take the roll on the Neville amendment. More up there?
Yes. Got to keep this. Sure he does.
Huh?
Sure he does.
He's got it.
Wow. You're getting the same type of vote that I normally get. I want to thank you and welcome you to the club. This is our sign.
All senators having voted.
I think I did better than this yesterday.
Actually,
desire to vote.
What's that?
I love you.
Go like this.
Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 23 ayes and 41 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Any further discussion on Senate File 1992? Further discussion, if seen none, to Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I believe Senate Counsel is drafting an amendment as we speak. It's very short and will be at the desk shortly.
We have one up here, I believe, with Senator Ortman's name on it.
Mr. President, I believe that it's a little bit different than that. It was a revision of it. Mr. President, it's very similar to that, but it's on its way to the desk from Mr. Baucus. So, can I?
Are there any other amendments on this bill? If not, we'll wait a little bit.
No, I got to clear it up.
That was still the amendment.
How much is it?
20. good.
He was asking about the bill. I thought Limmer asked him about the
Limmer.
Bill.
How are you doing?
Mr. President.
Senator Ortman.
If I could, I'd like to offer the A51 amendment.
Secretary will report. The A51, Senator Ortman amendment. Do we have it up? We don't have it. Do you? It's in the WB file, I guess.
Senator Ortman moves to amend Senate File 1992 as follows, page 25, line 5. Now, this is the A51 amendment.
Senator Ortman on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I appreciate the accommodation of the members of the chamber in the preparation of this amendment. It's very brief. The members in this chamber know from all the publicity about the expungement bill that I've been working on. Let me just say that the expungement bill that I'm working on does not seal any criminal records. What it does is it creates a process, a standardized process for sealing records, sets up the expectations for our courts to determine on a case-by-case basis when a person has been rehabilitated and whether that interest is, and the public's interest is safe in sealing those records. I am not offering the expungement process at this time. What I am asking is that when the bill goes through with the funding for a study on the sealing of arrest records, that study include the potential for sealing sealing conviction records as well. Not just arrest records, but also conviction records under certain circumstances. And basically what that means is that we will have a study of essentially the outline of my bill. And I would appreciate the support of the members of this chamber. I believe that Senator Moore and Senator Higgins are supportive of this. And I'm very grateful to Senator Cohen, who has agreed to have a full hearing on my bill in the Finance Committee, the full expungement bill, after the Easter break so that the public can come to the Capitol and talk about it. We've heard very compelling testimony in the Senate, Mr. President, about this subject, and we want to continue the dialogue with the public. It's given a lot of people hope that they can actually get jobs and find housing and restore their full rights of citizenship and have hope for the future. And I appreciate Senator Cohen's being agreeable to hear this bill and the accommodations of Senator Higgins and moi. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion on Senate File 1992. Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 1992 its third reading.
Senate File 1992, a bill for an act relating to public safety, appropriating money for public safety and corrections initiatives, creating grant programs, etc.
Secretary will take the roll.
I'm trying.
All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. We had 64 ayes and 0 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Pogamiller, do you wish to lay this bill on the table?
Mr. President, I would move to lay Senate File 1992 on the table.
Yeah. On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President, is there any work at the desk?
Absentee? No. We're pretty well cleaned up. I've got a few excuses to read. Senator Senjum, before?
Mr. President, and to the Majority Leader, could you just review, if you will? Okay, we're finished today, obviously, I think. And so where do we go on? What bill's Monday? Pardon me, which bill's tomorrow? I think we know that. Could you just kind of review the schedule for us?
Okay, members, tomorrow, taxes and finance are both meeting in the morning. There'll be a rules committee at 11. Rules? Rules committee at 11. And we'll try to...
Finance and taxes at 8:30.
And we will try to coordinate for members of finance and taxes so you don't miss any votes on the rules committee. Tomorrow, we will take up the state government bill at 1 o'clock. And that will be the only bill, I think.
A couple general orders, but I sent out an email. And if there's any additional stuff.
There'll be a couple general orders, but nothing that takes very long.
And I sent out an email.
And there's an email out on that. On Monday, E12 on the floor at noon. On Tuesday, judiciary bill. And perhaps the economic development bill, if it makes it through its web of committees. And then capital investment would be on, and that would be at noon, capital investment on noon on Wednesday, and environment, energy, and natural resources on Wednesday. And I think Senator Langseth is processing capital investment on Monday. And then
judiciary actually is delayed till Wednesday.
Judiciary may be Wednesday rather than Tuesday. And then Thursday, Health and Human Services and the tax bill. And then during the week, we will take up the smoke. What's it called, though? Freedom to Breathe Act. The statewide health insurance, probably on Monday, statewide health insurance on Monday. Smoking ban, or the Freedom to Breathe Act, Monday or Tuesday. Deficiency bill will be one of these days. It's not very big. And the legacy bill, Senate File 6, which I believe is going to be processed in finance tomorrow and then during the week in taxes and rules. So hopefully we'll take up Senate File 6 before the week is out also. And as we figure out other bills, we'll try to process them. But the objective, members, is to be done by Saturday, so that nobody has to come back on Monday. Now, outside chance we could be done on Friday, but I think that's unlikely. I think probably we will need a Saturday session. And so, but it looks right now like we can be done on Saturday, and then we would be done until the following, till the Tuesday after Easter. That's the objective.
Yeah, other Senator Sedgham, did you have a follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader.
Senator Frederickson, did you have an announcement?
Mr. President, I didn't have an announcement. I had a question of Senator Pogemiller. Did you list the Environment and Natural Resource Bill on that? I missed it. What day do you have that scheduled?
Senator Pogemiller.
So, and Mr. President, we will, I think that's been in the email, but we'll get it out again. We keep trying to update it. And again, I want to, it's very much appreciated, the minority caucus willing to take up Senator Higgins' bill tonight. We very much appreciate it. So, Mr. President.
Senator, before that, without objection, Senator Bonnet will be excused from today's session from 12:15 to 12:20. Dill, 12 to 12:25, Chaudhry from 12 to 12:30, Vanderveer from 12 to 12:35, Rosen at 1:30 on, Wigger 1:15, 2:50, Scheid 1:45 to 2:50, Higgins and Pappas 2 o'clock to 2:40, Senator Corrine from 2:40 to 2:50, Senator Gerlach from 4:15 on, and Senator Dibble from 4:15 on. Senator Pogemiller.
And, Mr. President, I want to mention Senator Sengem. I said the tax bill on Thursday. Trying not to give Senator Bach a heart attack, I would actually like to do it earlier in the week. So if we can, I would like to do it earlier in the week. So, Mr. President, I move that the Senate adjourn till March 24th, Saturday, March 24th, 1 p.m.
On the motion to adjourn, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.